So let me just put it this way. Hey, Elise, if you want to watch a really well-made, boring movie, I've got one for you.
Well, thanks, John. I was trying to watch some good movies myself this holiday weekend. We watched Coda, which I highly recommend, and on Netflix. It's outstanding. And the new Matrix movie, which actually didn't put me to sleep.
I love Matrix when it first came out. I think I would if I just invested a little time. I was looking over my son's shoulder as he and his friends were watching the Matrix series again. So I'm somewhat caught up. You know, the one that I can't, that I need to sort of flex a muscle to get interested in is the Spider-Man movie. I know I'm supposed to see it because I'm an American, but I have no interest in watching it, you know?
I think it's citizen of the world at this point. It's the highest grossing movie maybe of all time. It's just gotten so fast.
A billion.
Yeah, zero to a billion. Billion just doesn't buy quite what it used to, right?
Let's talk a little bit about where the markets are and where real estate is. What's your 30,000-foot view of all of that?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't think that we could possibly break any more records with the Dow from last year. Last year, there were 70 new record highs set with the stock market, just with the Dow, which was sort of incredible. We're seeing a very strong day with NASDAQ, though. So a lot of the tech stocks, Tesla had very good numbers that they announced this morning. It looks very strong, and you know, and yet we all are very worried about what's going on with COVID and how that's going to change things. I was certainly, as were my whole family, part of those, I don't know, was it 10,000 flights or something like it that got canceled over the holiday weekend? Mm-hmm. So we got to get that organized, but there are a lot of stock market investors who are thinking this is going to be not a terrible year.
You were going to go somewhere and couldn't?
I ended up getting somewhere between just a trip down to New Orleans, which, by the way, was lovely and surprising. There were maybe nothing shorter than 6 flight changes just to get there and back. So, and I know I'm not alone, and my heart goes out to everybody who had trouble this holiday week.
And New Orleans, you had to show a vax card to get into places, right?
You did, which was surprising because, you know, if you were on a tour bus, they didn't care about anybody wearing masks. But to get into a restaurant, to take pickup, to go eat outside at our hotel out in their little garden, we had to show a vaccine card. Everybody did in order to step foot inside the restaurant.
So folks are being pretty compliant about that, the restaurants. Today's the first day in Chicago, and after the news, I'm going to ask our listeners to tell us what they're seeing out there. Were they adhering to that rule?
They weren't. Everybody was very polite about it. And, you know, New Orleans can be a bit rowdy in the French Quarter, and it certainly was a wild and crazy place to go or avoid. We chose to avoid it over New Year's Eve. But people there were all very polite. They pulled out their vaccination cards. They also accepted versions on your phone. So if you had taken a photocopy and could show that, they were fine with it. If you had some sort of a state of Illinois vaccination pass, they were fine with that as well.
I want to read two numbers that you shared with Pete, who shared them with me. You alluded to the 70 new record highs on the Dow or in the markets, but the median home sale price was up 14.6%. year over year to a new all-time high of $361,000. Wow.
Yeah, it's jaw-dropping, I have to say. And the number of new listings and pending home sales also dropped to their lowest levels, which is crazy. Up in the North Shore, we're seeing you know, a dozen homes for sale, you know, in communities that would normally have 130 to 150 homes for sale. There's literally nothing to buy. This is what's being replicated all across the country. We walked through a great part of New Orleans. We looked at the Garden District. We walked around. There were very few, if any, homes for sale signs. The only place we saw them, and we saw quite a lot of them, is in the French Quarter, surprisingly.
I want to ask you maybe more about your trip, but I also want to talk about the holiday debt report, which may be the flip side to some of the things we're talking about. In just a minute with Elise Glink, the real estate and financial wellness expert, owner of Think Glink Media. Her book is 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask. The Holiday Debt Report, what is that, Elise?
Well, LendingTree does a lot of research and studies, and so they look at how consumers are doing based on the amount of debt that they take out. And one of the things that LendingTree does, and there are other companies that do this as well, but they power a lot of the big websites where you search for credit cards, or, you know, are doing different things on different websites that are credit related. And so they take all that data in and they look at it and they try to make some, you know, larger pronouncements, shall we say, about what's going on. And so this year, the Holiday Debt Report found that about a third of consumers actually took on debt this holiday season for about $1,200. In fact, almost $1,250. And while the amount of debt, or I should say the percentage of borrowers rose from last year to this year, and not surprising, right, because we're in a little bit of a better shape financially, the amount of spending that they did actually dropped.
So how does that happen?
Well, I think what's happening is that more people decided to spend more, but they were more careful with what they were spending. And so people are they owe less this year, if you look at the amount of debt. And I think we'll see this as the different credit reporting bureaus come out with their numbers a little bit later on this month. But they spent about 10% less. So they were buying less, or at least they were spending less on debt. Now, if you had children younger than 18, they were parents with children younger, and millennials were also much more likely to take on debt, 50% or more, compared to 36% of all Americans. So younger people are definitely taking on more debt than the population as a whole.
I forget who it was, but one of our hosts here was talking to some other guest here about the idea of buy now, pay later, Christmas club plans. And they were exploring it like it was a novel thing. That's the way we used to shop, or our parents did anyway. And it seemed to make a sort of resurgence this year, at least conceptually.
Well, it's interesting. The buy here, pay here later, I think, is it's a really dangerous thing, right? So they're happy to extend the debt to you. You know, you buy, you make a commitment that you're going to buy whatever you're buying today, and then you're going to push off the payments over the next 4 months. But up until now, what hasn't happened is that debt wasn't being reported to the credit reporting bureaus. So you could take on more of that debt without taking on debt from credit cards. Credit cards automatically get reported to the credit reporting bureaus, and it shows up on your credit report. Buy here, pay here boomed over the last 5 or 6 years, but wasn't showing up, except now it will. And so each of the biggest credit buy here, pay here companies, like Affirm, there's one called, I think, Ahold. They've got various names. They've now started to do deals. And so they will be reporting your on-time payments, or the fact that you've taken on this debt, to the credit reporting bureaus. And that's going to be something to watch. But you're exactly right, John, because there's other companies like Purchasing Power, which has, you know, thousands and thousands of customers. And what they do is they work to provide people with options to buy things, everything from furniture to refrigerators, and then repay that debt through your payroll deductions. And so that has been very popular for a long, long time.
Well, do all of these, I'm thinking, you're saying buy here, pay here. I've not heard of that. I've heard of buy now, pay later.
Excuse me, I misspoke. So buy here, pay here is actually when you buy a car and you have no credit. I misspoke.
That's okay.
So buy now, pay later. You can see they're almost all the same thing. Buy now, pay later are companies like Affirm,
yeah,
and some of these others.
And I assume they all charge an interest rate for that?
So they don't, which is why they've become so popular. What they do is if you don't pay it back, then they do charge very high rates. But if you do pay
it back... Oh, like 4 months. If you don't make the four payments in 4 months, then the meter starts to run.
Correct. And they actually get paid by the company. So, for example, if they're doing a deal with Macy's and you're online,
right,
and you're buying something that way, Macy's pays these companies a marketing fee. And so they're making money from the marketing fee on a large scale, right, because they're bringing people to the door. And they're making it easier for them to purchase. And there's studies that show that people will buy a significantly larger amount of whatever it is they're buying if there is this buy now, pay later option.
Right. But I mean, guys, the reason they're dangling that in front of you is because they're betting that you're going to miss the payment and you're going to have to pay more.
That is correct. And so now what's going to happen is, even though prior to this, that wasn't being reported on your credit, I think we're going to start to see a large number of people failing, meaning that they're not making those payments. And that negative information is going to start showing up on credit reports.
Do you know what percentage of people are carry a balance month to month then of credit card holders?
Well, I don't know the specific number, but it's in the millions, tens of millions, actually. I believe that the average amount of debt that is carried is somewhere about $7,000, $6,000 or $7,000. And I'll look that up for you, John. I just don't have it at the top of my head.
Okay. Anything else to report on debt and spending for the holidays then?
Well, 82% of those who charged up over the holiday season aren't going to pay it off within the month. And I'm a big fan,
Well, that may
by
be the
way.
Answer to my question. Say that again.
82% of people who have holiday debt will not pay it off within a month.
Yeah, that's different, but okay, that's still interesting to know. And is going down the road I was traveling, which is how many of us, what percentage of us are going to, I presume that means then pay some interest on those purchases, right?
They will. Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we're going to see happen, and it all happens now, so the monthly stipend that many Americans have been receiving from the government, sort of an early child tax credit, paid in advance, $300 per child, or if your child was under five, you were getting, I think it was like $365 per month per child. That's all gone away. And now we're going to see the holiday debt start. Student loan debt got pushed back, so you get a little reprieve on that for another few months. So that was good. But I think we're going to start to see more people having trouble managing their personal finances this year as that government help goes away. Even as there are a lot of jobs that are open, and people who are switching jobs tend to get a slightly better raise than people who are staying in the jobs they have. They're getting raises too, but when you jump jobs, you seem to get a little bit more.
We thought that everybody was going to be going back to work in September. That didn't happen as a lot of those benefits rolled off. But as you point out, the forbearance on student loans continues. I wonder if we're ever going to have to start paying off our student loans.
We absolutely will. I just think it's too much money for the government to wholesale, say, right, everybody, this debt is canceled. Although what they have been doing, though, is starting to process the applications for people who go through having that debt. And so there were some federal programs where if you went to work for a not-for-profit or other kinds of nonprofit organizations out of school, you were a teacher or maybe you worked for a police or firefighter, you were able to get credit for some of those years and have your debt discharged after 10 years. But the government wasn't actually processing those applications, and so the vast majority of people were denied. And now that looks like at least that's been freed up. So we could see more movement this year. It'll be very interesting to watch, John.
That's the message that Ray Kaplan, the student debt attorney, the attorney that specializes in that and advertises frequently here and is a guest frequently here, has been talking about a lot. Financialrelief.com is her. Is it debt relief or financial relief? She's going to kick me if I don't get this right. I think it's financial relief. But you're absolutely right. That's been a very interesting and hot topic for a lot of families. And the bet has been during forbearance not to pay down the principal, because that's what you do when you pay on your student loans right now. You're paying down the principal, which lowers your overall payments over the life of the loan. So go ahead and make those payments during forbearance if you can. But the bet was that we're going to get $10,000 of forgiveness. So if you owe less than 10 grand, don't do it. But do you agree with this, Elise, that it looks like that's not going to happen? We are not going to get debt forgiveness.
I don't think we're going to get debt forgiveness wholesale like that. I mean, everybody would love to have $10,000 applied, but I just don't see that happening. So if you do have student loan debt and you are able to make payments, right now it's like 0% interest. So go ahead and make payments. Every single dollar will go towards paying your principal balance, and that's a pretty good deal.
I know our number is 312-294-8255. 89.89. 30 seconds left. The highlight of your trip to New Orleans was what?
I think the highlight was getting out of the French Quarter. We did a plantation tour at the Whitney Plantation, which is entirely from the perspective of slaves. It was extremely moving and so disheartening that people could be so cruel to each other. And then we took an airboat tour through the swamp, and that was really just fun.
Yeah, I have been on tours, you know, when we went up to the River Seine to Normandy, when we were in Germany and we toured a concentration camp processing center, and you think this isn't the stuff of fun tours, but it's so moving and powerful, you feel like you don't want to miss the opportunity to be educated on something like that.
I just hope for this year, this is my hope, John, that we can all find it in our hearts to be just as kind as we can and to be as helpful as we can. And that's what I intend to do this year.
It's good advice from Elise Glink, the real estate and financial wellness expert, thinkglink.com. Okay, let's talk next Monday. Thanks, Elise.
You're welcome, John.
We're still thinking about what to do about the COVID-19, the vaccination, and the identification that we need in Cook County in Chicago now. So it's timely to talk to Muhammad Gaber. He is the CEO of GoGetDoc, GoGetDoc.com. This is a company that provides solutions that are compliant with the Chicago mandates and the national mandates as well. Muhammad, you're on WGN Radio with John Williams. How are you?
John, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
You got a Chicago connection? I know you're out west. Do you have family or friends around these parts?
Yes, I actually used to work in Chicago, and all my kids were born in Chicago as well. So I'm really excited to be on with you.
Well, we got a lot of folks that are very interested in this. We today, for the first time now, are having to show a vaccine card in order to get into restaurants, bars, gyms, theaters. I suppose you are well aware of that. What does your company do in that space?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thanks so much for your question and having me on. So GoGetDoc, we're building, we're a company based here out of San Francisco. We're a three-year-old company. We're building a modern app store for healthcare. And one of the apps that we built during the pandemic, in addition to some of the testing work that we've done, is what we call VaxYes. And VaxYes is by far the easiest way for all consumers anywhere in the United States, and we have some international customers as well, to basically upload their vaccine information, save it, and then verify that vaccine information so that they can use it, whether it's for work, going to restaurants, or, you know, we've got some people who are using it for schools now. So it's the what we think is the easiest way to do that.
How is it better than me just taking a screen grab of my vax card and saving it in my photos or something like that?
Well, you know, it's not an either or, it's an and. So we think that everybody should save a copy of their vaccination information on their phone, take a picture at the very least. What we do is we're in the business of building trust between the consumer and whether it's the restaurant or the show or the sports venue, because there's a lot of people, and this is not new to COVID, there's a lot of people who have forge their cards, and what we do is we want to add a layer of trust. So we have a multi-step process that we go through to validate the card to make sure that the person on the other side who's requesting it mm-hmm. can trust it. And I'll give you an example. I went to Universal Studios with my kids this past weekend, and because they trusted VaxYes, I was able to show mine and all my kids' vaccination information. We got in, and they didn't really bat an eye. So It's not an either or, it's an and.
Did you have to show your identification as well, or does this sort of put all of that in one little spot? I show this, they trust that it's who it says it is.
That's exactly right. So it's the latter. So as part of our service, we also go through the identity verification and kind of the advanced levels of what we do. We double verify with the state. So the business on the other side. And the reason why we built it this way is we talked to a lot of employers and venue owners, and they were, you know, really kind of worried about being put into the position where they have to verify somebody's identity, their vaccination status, and they're putting their employees in that kind of awkward position. And we said there really should be a better way to do that. And that's why we built our platform the way that we built it. And if I may add, you know, we think that it's time that the way that we carry vaccination information really catches up to 2022. You know, my wife tells me, and I've done the same for the schools, where we have to walk in with all of their vaccination information. We have to track it down. And so we're obviously excited to be helping, you know, cities like Boston, LA, San Francisco, and Chicago, and many, many more accept vaccine validation. But we think there's a change that's going to happen to change how we carry some of this information for the future, not just for COVID.
The whole planet needs this. I traveled in Europe this fall, and I'm going to again this spring, and for that matter, the year after that. And it's not like the EU has one universally accepted vaccine pass. It's different countries. There is one for the EU, but then other countries have different requirements. In fact, now that I think about it, with different states having different policies and different countries having different policies, how are you going to manage that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And our fundamental position is that the consumer should own it, not the state, not the government, not the employer, right? The consumer should really own their healthcare and all facets of their healthcare. One of the interesting learnings that we had is we had a strong demand for Mexico for our solution because there's a lot of people who came to the U.S. to get vaccinated either during travel or for other reasons. And none of them were able to get a verification, digital verification card. So you're absolutely right. I think this is a global problem that requires a global solution. And it's one that we think a lot about, and we're thinking about opening up this platform to a wider set of audience.
This is an app, by the way. So when I go to the app store, what should I type in?
Well, it's actually, we've made it so you don't actually have to download an app at all. All you need to go to is gogetdoc.com/vaxyes or vaxyes.com, and the entire experience runs securely in your browser. It's a very simple four-step process for you to do that. But we wanted to make sure that nobody had to download an app and go through that process in order to use the application.
Well, that makes it different than all of Europe then. So, or for that matter, some states, do I get a QR code then?
You do. You get a QR code that the venue can then point any modern smartphone and get the validation information. And then in addition, we'll also, currently for Apple, we allow you to create an Apple Wallet card. Yeah. So I have stored all of mine and my kids' information in one wallet card. And then we're working with Google to do the same with Google as well.
One more time then. So what do I type in my browser then?
Yeah, so it's either gogetdoc.com/vaxyes or to make it even easier, vaxyes.com, and that should take you there.
Really interesting and timely. I think you're in the right place at the right time on this. Mohammed, thanks for visiting with us today.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
That's Mohammed Gaber, and again, it's gogetdoc.com. is the website for a company that's 3 years old, which is interesting because that would predate COVID-19. But boy, talk about being at the right place at the right time, such as it is. It's 12:45 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Private equity firm Bain Capital may be interested in purchasing the Boots business from Walgreens Boots Alliance. Boots is the company's UK drugstore chain. An auction of the unit is likely coming. According to Bloomberg, Boots would fetch upwards of $8 billion. There's been no comment on the report from Bain or Walgreens Boots. Walgreens has hired Goldman Sachs to advise it on options for Boots, including a possible sale. ComEd has purchased the building that once housed the CME Group's historic trading floor. The utility is planning to turn the building into a new electrical substation that's slated to open in 2026. ComEd paid $39.5 million for the 288,000-square-foot building at 333 South LaSalle. CME shut down the trading pit in 2020 when the pandemic hit. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of food time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, it's business of eating food, Johnny. You know, we've made it through three of the four big food events of the winter eating season. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all that's left now is the Super Bowl. And, you know, you put them all together and that's a lot of food and has a lot of us saying,
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
You ate it, Ralph.
That Alka-Seltzer commercial from 1972 sums it up for a lot of us who are members of the Clean Plate Club.
I completely agree. And I have to say, I come from that same exact club, Steve. I also grew up in a household where we practiced the Clean Plate Club.
That is Amanda Gilbert.
I am a lecturer of mindfulness at the University of Southern California and a meditation teacher.
Okay, and what does mindfulness have to do with our overeating on holidays?
We can come to understand how much food we are actually hungry for, and also when the body becomes full, so we know when to stop eating food.
And she says another tool to avoid,
I can't believe I ate that whole thing,
happens before eating begins.
Understanding that it was okay to not fill a plate at the beginning of the meal, because I would be checking in beforehand, how hungry am I?
Oh, that's hard to do, especially at a buffet.
And then also give myself permission to leave food on the plate, which is really revolutionary considering our backgrounds and our upbringing.
Yeah, that Clean Plate Club thing. There's another way to spin this. By not taking as much food, you aren't wasting as much food. And we've heard all about how much food is being wasted. You can find out more about mindful eating at AmandaGilbertMeditation.com. Or you can go ahead and stay on this path.
Did you drink your Alka-Seltzer?
The whole thing.
From the farm to your belly, today is National Chocolate-Covered Cherry Day. And if you've been using a fruitcake as a doorstop, you can get rid of it today. It is National Fruitcake Toss Day.
I want to say thank you also for bringing back that commercial. Some of you may be hearing that for the first time, but before Clara Peller, before TV commercials were a thing people talked about, that commercial was talked about.
1972.
That was a hit.
That was the first time for me. Loved it.
Go back and watch it, and you might be underwhelmed by it, but I'm telling you, that was a conversation. That was fun.
The video's great. The guy, just looking at this guy as he says those words.
I laughed in here just picturing it from the words. That was a good performance.
When you see it, he'll look everything like you hope he looks like. All right, you all done, Mr. A?
I am. It's all yours.
Amy Guth, talk to us a little bit about air travel. What's the latest today?
Yes, certainly. A lot of flights have continued to be delayed. There are about 1,900 flights grounded in the U.S. and quite a few more, about, I think, 2,200 or so. 3,300 worldwide. That was of earlier today, according to FlightAware, of course, which is a flight tracking service. And a lot of this has to do with just the accumulation. We saw some weather come through. We saw some flight delays happen due to staffing issues over the holidays. We're still moving out of that backlog. And then that weather system came through here that's now hitting the East Coast. But we're still seeing some flight delays for other reasons. Even Hawaiian Airlines said that their flights between islands and to the West Coast and other destinations were being delayed due to staffing shortages. So it's kind of this perfect storm of all the things making for some really stressful travel right now. So if you have travel planned, be sure you leave very early, but also check in with your airline. And a couple of industry watchers were talking about having a kind of a backup plan in your head. So if you know that you have a connecting flight or something like that, it wouldn't hurt to take a look at, okay, if I miss this, I know there's a flight at this time, or this other carrier has a flight, something like that. But some carriers have been taking some pretty drastic measures to make sure that they have the staffing that they need. United, of course, based here, they were offering pilots up to three times, in a couple cases more than that, to pick up extra shifts and extra flights just to try to get through all of this backlog, which is pretty significant. United had made that deal with the pilots union early in the pandemic that, hey, we won't do any layoffs. You know, this is what we're going to do. So they've had a pretty consistent, showing of pilots, but to even be offering them so much extra pay to show up really kind of points to just the extent of what's going on in airports just all around the country right now.
Man, if you're an airline or a passenger, you know, you can guess and hope that you'll get through with weather. You can guess and hope that you can get through COVID, and then staffing. That's the wild card, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, because that can happen kind of on a day's notice, right? You can go to bed and have an early morning flight, and if someone calls off that's in the crew because they're sick in the morning, not much you can do about it. So that's really kind of the really difficult part, whether we can kind of plan for. We have big systems coming through, but when coupled with staffing and still trying to dig out of the holiday backlog where we saw so many flight cancellations, it's really an issue right now. It seems like it's a very stressful undertaking to be traveling right now. So if you must travel, definitely make some backup plans and definitely allow for a lot of time. No flights that you're cutting it close to get to a meeting or anything like that.
What is Sweet Green and what is Sweet Pass?
So Sweet Green is a restaurant chain that does kind of a build your own salad, and Sweet Pass is an initiative.
Okay.
Yeah, right. There's a few of them around town. They have rolled out just in time for everybody's New Year's resolutions, where I'm sure lots of people are saying they're going to, you know, maybe aspire to eat more healthy this year, something like that. They're doing this thing called the Sweet Pass. They're going to pilot this month. It's $10, and you can use that for a $3 credit once a day for 30 days. So you have to act now because this is just a pilot. So if you're interested in doing it, you have to kind of get on it because they're not going to honor this after mid-February. But essentially, it kind of gives you this deal. So you get kind of like a member pricing in order to get your salads every day, things like that. So it's kind of an interesting thing to see restaurants kind of getting into that, moving into new ways of looking at loyalty programs.
So if I spend $10, I'm going to save $30, right? Because, no, more than that. You said, can you do the math for me on that again?
Yeah, so you pay 10 bucks for the pass,
right,
for the month,
right,
and then you get a $3 credit once per day for 30 days.
Oh, so that's 90 bucks you would save.
Yeah.
So you have a financial motivation to stay on your diet or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can, you know, it's one thing to say, I'm just going to eat healthy, but then you're like, I'm going to potentially lose out on saving this 90 bucks if I don't go do it. So it's kind of an interesting pilot. I'll be very curious to see how that shakes out for them and see if they continue that for beyond just this month where everybody's kind of hopping on resolution bandwagons.
Yeah, right. Time for maybe one more headline. We got a few seconds here. Amy, what else should we mention?
Well, I'm certainly keeping a close eye on the Consumer Electronics Show. I know we've mentioned that a couple of times after we saw some really big names stepping out from that due to the surge of COVID cases. It is going on. It starts the 5th. So it's going on as planned. They said it wouldn't be fair to some of the smaller exhibitors who've spent a lot of time and effort to get there. They moved a lot of things virtually, but some big highlights this year. They're doing a lot with the digital health space and a lot from the automotive industry moving to more, you know, clean fuel options and electric vehicles. So I think that'll be there'll be a lot to watch even from afar.
Okay, that in another report. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.
That's Amy Guth.